My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batzer, discussing Ukraine and the European fragility in general with Anatole Lieben of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft. NATO. NATO guarantees the members will be defended by the collective if attacked. That makes it extremely desirable to members of the Europe continent in the event that there is Russian aggression, especially Ukraine. And Mr. Zelensky has repeatedly mentioned that membership is vital for him to come to the negotiation table. At the same time, I believe the voices of the Kremlin have said that's not negotiable, it will not happen. Where are we on the NATO membership? They play with it as if it's a large toy.
Well, yes, and I mean, the thing is, which is not, I think, noticed often enough, is that this isn't up to Ukraine and it's not up to the United States. You need unanimity among NATO members to accept a new member. Hungary will veto. It now looks, if the Ukrainian nationalist opposition wins, that Romania would veto. Turkey will veto. And if, as now looks entirely possible, Le Pen becomes president of France, France is likely to veto. So this is not actually going to happen. Like Russia's demand that Ukraine withdraw from these four provinces, this can be an initial bargaining counter. And indeed, I mean, there are, you know, strong indications from the Ukrainian side that they don't actually expect to get this. But it's a way of trying to get the West to offer and the Russians to accept some form of security guarantees short of NATO membership.
The story about NATO is not only about Ukraine. It's also about NATO countries that are in transition. I'm being diplomatic. Georgia, you visited recently, and you know that there have been protests in the Tbilisi for some days now against the government that claims that it has won a re-election, the Georgian Dreams. The European Union has challenged those results and asked for a second vote. We don't have time for Georgia. That's divided between those who want to be in the EU and those who want to maintain a talking relationship with Moscow. We go to Romania, where there is a vote pending within these next hours between a man, Georgescu, who makes statements that are like a light version of Orban out of Hungary, or maybe a heavy version. I can't tell. He changes his mind all the time. Romania looks to be in turmoil. That's EU. That's NATO. That's frontline Ukraine. Is that a surprise to you?
Well, I think it's been a surprise to everybody. But I suppose the answer is that we should have, you know, looked much more at the state of the Romanian economy and the fact that, how many years now? Almost 20 after joining the European Union. You know, the EU has not delivered the economic miracle that ordinary Romanians were expecting. While on the other hand, as elsewhere, you know, there's been tremendous growth of inequality and social differentiation. And so there has been a backlash. There's a lot of resentment in many countries of Brussels ordering, you know, elected governments what to do against the will of majorities of their own people. And it's more and more common now in parts of Eastern Europe and Georgia to hear people saying, you know, the EU is now treating us the way that Moscow used to treat us in the bad old Soviet days.
And the Black Sea Basin as a whole looks to be in turmoil. Is that because of Ukraine? Is that a development that was in train, and so Ukraine is a symptom and not a driver? How do you measure Georgia, Moldova, Romania, Turkey certainly involved in the conflict in Syria, but Erdogan always has time to make trouble in the Black Sea. and then and then the Russian Federation. It looks as if the Black Sea is now an invitation to chaos.
Well, I think what we're seeing is that, you know, unlike during the Cold War, or unlike, you know, what has seemed to be developing in recent years, especially since the Russian invasion of Ukraine, you know, what we are seeing is much less now of two blocks confronting each other, and much more that, you know, very much in the old style, which after all has prevailed for most of history, that every country is essentially out for itself, you know, trying to pursue national goals and defend national interests. And inevitably, this produces a very, very messy picture. I'm supposed to, my section of the Quincy Institute is supposed to cover, you know, the whole of Europe. But to be perfectly honest, we just haven't had a time to cover Romania as well. So, of course, as with most people, this leapt on us by surprise. But I think we're going to get more and more of these surprises.
And back to Ukraine. Mr. Zelensky is looking for a negotiation. Here comes Mr. Trump. We do not know what "I'll settle it in 24 hours" means. We still don't know. Let's say that it was an exaggeration and he means 24 weeks or 24 months. In any event, what does it look like that Zelensky can accept, given that he has many opinions around him, some of them armed?
Well, Zelensky has now publicly said that he will do what, in fact, he has to do, because he can't reconquer these occupied territories, that they will be left in Russian hands, but without, of course, any legal recognition of Russian annexation. And this will be left for future negotiation, which, by the way, is very much what, in private, the Russians have also been saying. NATO membership will not happen. And then, so then we get into a situation of what will the West offer in terms of security guarantees, and what will Russia accept. There is talk now from the Ukrainian government and from some Western experts. There was a piece in Foreign Affairs the other day by a French think tank guy of deploying European troops in Ukraine.
Yes, I saw that. We have 30 seconds, Anatole. Go ahead.
But the Russians will not agree to that. That's a non-starter, I think, as far as they're concerned. But, you know, all of these issues will have to be discussed in these peace talks, and we will see what will emerge.
Anatole Levin of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft, a quick tour of Europe, finding no one sitting down and enjoying his or her coffee.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills. Accelerate your team's impact and redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more.